Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the podcast that's probably more interesting than it has any right to be. And with me, as always, are two very special gentlemen, one Scottish and one Scottish but living in England, maybe?
But which one's which?
Good question. Alex, Scottish by... not by birthright, but
just
by
location.
But where you are, yeah. You're in Edinburgh, how are you?
Which is what counts.
I'm good, thank you, yeah. I feel like the last few weeks all I've said is that I've just spent a little bit of time exploring Edinburgh, but that's all I've done this week as well, because we're still in lockdown, although things are starting to open up again soon.
They are.
Soon,
they
pubs,
are.
I think hairdressers
April
are now
12th,
open.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Hairdressers and homeware stores are now open, so we're getting there.
Oh, the possibilities.
Get
your lawn, hairdressers and homeware stores.
I think so. What's
homeware? What's that?
Don't confuse your shears.
Is it like B&Q?
Scissors?
A bit of IKEA? I think IKEA is
DIY open. Stuff.
Yeah.
I see. Robin. Sorry, Alex.
No, that was not important. And I'm not going to derail this any further by talking about homeware stores. Go to Robin.
Okay. Robin, Scottish by a little bit of blood, I imagine.
A bit of lineage, yeah.
A little bit of lineage there. Any IKEA
Scots,
trips?
Yeah, that's
any IKEA trips on the horizon for you, Robin?
No, just in general, to be honest. But who knows? Maybe I'll go wild and go to IKEA as soon as it opens, just for the experience. Do they still do the meatballs? Is that a thing?
I imagine they still do the meatballs, yeah, don't they? I think that was the reason...
Anyone goes, yeah. It's been all right. We've just had Easter, one of the busiest weekends of the year for me, but fun, yeah. Fun.
Nice, lots of chocolate.
Yeah, actually.
Apparently, there was an Easter egg shortage. Apparently.
Huh, not the United
States. Around here, okay. Yeah. Really. Yeah, overflow.
What, in your area in particular, or just in...
Well, yeah, in the area, there was local groups that my wife's part of, saying, I need Easter eggs for my kids. Where can I get them?
That's
apparently,
a shame.
Apparently, service stations was the go-to after supermarkets ran out.
I can believe that. There's the same thing with toilet roll at the beginning of the lockdown last year. If you go to the corner shops and service stations, they'd have very expensive toilet roll. But, you know, some people just didn't think to go there.
Needs must.
Yeah.
If you want to see more of us, you can head on over to patreon.com/justinteresting, where this week we've spoken about the person who was falsely accused of getting that massive tanker stuck in a Suez Canal. And we also spoke a little bit about COVID passports, whether they're a good thing or a bad thing. Well, we'll let you decide, but we give our thoughts. So be sure to head on over there if you're interested.
I've never seen Robin as angry as in that Patreon exclusive one. So
he gets surprisingly fired up, didn't I?
Fuming.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want
what
to
can
see
I say
Robin,
I like passports.
If you want to see Robin even more angry than when he loses the quiz after a dramatic comeback like last week, then do head on over.
That was Martin subtly plugging his own victory there.
If you haven't seen it, just go to 43 minutes. No. But this week, gentlemen, this week we are talking about, well, the main topic, we're talking about Matt Gaetz, who's genuinely a bit of a nutter, the Florida congressman, who has been, accused of child sex trafficking. And so he's been trying to defend himself in the most bizarre ways this week. So we're going to go over that and discuss that topic. But before we get onto that, we are going to discuss what we've learned this week. So, Alex.
Oh, me.
What have you learned this week?
Well, I was, feeling a bit nostalgic this week. So I was looking back at, one of my favorite dishes growing up. And, well, not growing up, but like when I moved off to uni. And I think many students survived on this through uni. And that's pasta and cheese. And I was actually thinking.
Yeah, recipe. Yeah.
When was the first ever just pasta and cheese recipe? Martin's laughing. Did you ever survive on pasta and cheese?
Maybe. I mean, I'm just thinking of the the intro of this podcast is probably more interesting than it has any right to be. And then the first fact on the podcast is pasta and cheese.
It's going to get interesting.
Bear with me.
It's going to get interesting.
Is it the simple pasta cheese recipe where you boil the pasta and you literally just stir the cheese in? You don't make a cheese sauce. You just stir it in.
I'll be honest, like sometimes you wouldn't even stir it in, you just take the pasta out and just grate some cheese on top.
Also, yeah, simple. Yeah,
yeah. I remember times at school, you know, didn't have enough lunch money left for the old sauce, probably spent it on a donut at break. And I was like, ah, yeah, it's going to have to be pasta and cheese. I did that a couple of times, but it's not the best, is it?
No, no. But my fact is, when do you think the first ever recorded instance of pasta and cheese was?
Ooh, pasta and cheese. I'm going to say... Oh.
862 BC, bloody good year.
862 BC,
that's
okay.
Very specific. Okay. I was going to go back further and say Roman times. But it was the Romans.
Well, this might not be as interesting as I thought, because it's actually the 14th century in an Italian cookbook, which featured a dish of Parmesan and pasta. Okay, different one. Slightly different, but kind of the same. How about mac and cheese? Macaroni cheese.
Sure, that's
more specific.
Isn't that the recipe they're referring to? That's like the definitive pasta cheese dish. Macaroni cheese?
It's different. It's different. And if you don't know why, then I can't help you.
Was it invented by the British? Is it one of those meals?
It was invented by the British.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was actually also in the 14th century. And this was written in a medieval English cookbook that was written by Elizabeth Raffold, who is a really interesting figure. And I'll come on to her in a second. But the original recipe said, take and make a thin foil of dough and curve it on pieces and cast hem on boiling water and seethe it well. Take cheese.
Seethe it well.
Take cheese and grate it and butter cast, bind the thin and above as lozenges.
This is Charlie Kelly from It's Always Sunny.
And seru forth. And what that means is make a thin sheet of dough and cut it into pieces so you're making the pasta shapes.
Yeah.
Cast them in boiling water and seethe or boil them. Then take cheese, grater and add it, and place butter beneath and above as with lozenges, which is like a lasagna kind of thing. So it's basically layering the pasta with cheese sauce. That's the first ever recorded instance of mac and cheese. But I said earlier, Elizabeth Raffold, this lady's like incredible.
Lasagna,
she invented the first ever mac and cheese, but she's also invented poached eggs on toast. She is the first ever recorded recipe for crumpets, Robin. Crumpets.
They're so essential.
I know. And the first ever mention of a bridal cake is in this book. So like a wedding.
Bridal cake and crumpet. Wow. I'll have mine and eat it.
There we go.
Anyway, that fact got a little bit away from me. But stemmed from my love of pasta and cheese.
So I don't know if we can follow that up, Alex. Martin, have you got anything good?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily good. Say good, but it is interesting. And my fact's a short one this week. It's the fact that grasshoppers predate grass by about 200 million years.
What? Say what?
Yes. So grasshoppers are around 250 million years ago, and the first records of grass existing on Earth are around 55 million years ago. So the grasshopper came before grass by a long way. So was it just
did grasshoppers begrudge
what did
that?
They hop on?
Exactly. Who knows?
It
doesn't make any sense. Don't they? I thought they would have evolved to
Pixar
like
movie.
Look like grass. Because they do a little bit.
Alex. They do a little bit, but...
They've got a bit of camouflage,
Existed way
I mean, 55 million years is long enough to evolve to look a bit like grass, isn't it? Even if you
predate I wonder what they looked like all that time ago.
I now want to see the next Pixar movie about the young grasshopper who wants to hop on grass, and his parents are like, what are you talking about? Grass isn't a thing. So he goes on a quest to find the first blade of grass, and then he's a grasshopper.
Yeah.
And that, children, is how the first grasshopper came to be. Do they get angry that when the first people started calling the grasshoppers, and were they just like, I'm not going to be defined by grass. I was here before then.
I imagine they were furious. I imagine they were
absolutely furious.
Livid.
Fuming, yeah. Yeah. So short and sweet this week, but
that was good.
That's very interesting.
That was a nice balance to Alex's incredible, mind-blowing and detailed mac and cheese and crumpet and poached eggs on toast fact.
It was a nice balance to my incredible one. You're just kind of average one.
No. That's not what I meant.
We're not boring. So mine was boring. Yours was too interesting.
That's not what I meant.
And they were just interesting enough overall. So yours has got to be bang on average, Rob. What have you got for us this week?
My bang on average fact is about yawning.
Oh no, it's a disaster.
So I think we've probably all heard the theories and the suggestions that yawning, you know, we all know yawning is contagious. If someone else yawns, then you mm-hmm. yawn too. Yes. They say it's a thing that's peculiar to social animals, and particularly mammals. Well, there's a new study into yawning in lions. And mm-hmm. apparently lions yawn as well. Big cats, we all know they yawn. And scientists started studying their yawning patterns, and they noticed that just like humans, they yawn most frequently at the beginning and the end of the day, when they're waking up and when they're going to sleep, which suggests that the theory that people yawn in order to get their blood circulating around their head, in order to get it into their brain so they can start waking up properly, is correct, that lions do the same thing. But another peculiar behavior they noticed in lions was that if a lion yawns and another lion yawns, the second lion that yawned is, what's the statistic? Well, it's incredibly likely to then mimic whatever the other lion does. So if the first lion to yawn is lying down and then they get up, the second lion to yawn will also stand up. And if that first lion decides to go off hunting, the second lion will go off hunting. So the social leaders of any particular activity but if they yawn first, they are the ones who lead the pack for that little bit of activity.
Is this a way to manipulate people into doing what you want by just yawning? Is that what this is leading to?
The statistic was that a lion is 139 times more likely to yawn in response to another lion than it is to instigate the yawning.
Wow. To be honest, I never knew the first fact about why we yawn to begin with, and about like blood circulating. I don't think I've ever previously thought about why we actually yawn.
Ah, there you go. Well, now observe, and this goes to our listeners and viewers as well. Next time you yawn, let me know if you then start copying the behavior of the person you yawned with, if that makes sense. Mm. Or if you were the first person to yawn, well, will they copy you? Like Alex said, is this a way that we can start getting people to do what we want?
I'd be interested to see any stats on interspecies yawning, because my cat yawned yesterday and I yawned straight after. So I don't know whether, you know, it spreads across species, but it seemed to in that instance. I don't know whether it was a completely coincidental.
There is another statistic about dogs yawning. Dogs are more likely to yawn if their owner yawns first, but not if another human who doesn't own them yawns.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So they'll respond to their owner, but not to another human. And that suggests, Martin, that your cat owns you.
Yeah, well, definitely, sure.
It's also that, in that instance, that's very interesting that the dog recognizes what a yawn is in another species. I don't know why I find that interesting, but...
But we recognize dogs yawning, so I guess maybe it's one of those... Yeah. I often wonder if humans, there's a whole bunch of skills that humans have, and because we know that we're using those skills, we think, it's because we've evolved and we're intelligent. But actually, no.
Other animals have them
like
as well.
Most animals have them. We just kind of, we've got, it's the higher thinking, like the writing and the maths that we can do that other animals can't necessarily do. I don't know. Maybe there's some maths geniuses in dogs.
I guess with us, we almost think that the yawn, when someone else is yawning, is just reactionary, isn't it? It's almost a blind reaction to someone else yawning. It's like, oh, they're yawning, we're yawning, we can't help it. Whereas it seems like with the dog example, it's definitely a social interaction, a social cue, when it's with the owner and not with a stranger, which is very interesting. Intriguing.
Thank you. Well, I hope that averaged out.
That was good. That was a good fact.
Yeah, that was a good fact, actually.
Slightly now in the balance of interesting to boring, so we're going to have to bring it down a little bit with comments from from our fans online. So have you got any good comments for us this week?
Yeah, so I've got a comment from Sir Chris McCrate, who is one of our most loyal fans. Thank you, Sir Chris. Who commented on our last video, which was, of course, our live Twitch one, our live Twitch podcast. And he commented saying, great video as always. It was fun to catch it live. Also found out the quizzes are a lot harder when answering live. And It was really fun doing the quiz live because we were able to get people incorporated into the quiz and they could take part. So, I mean, I think doing more live podcasts is definitely something that we're going to want to try again, maybe, in the future. So So make sure you're following us on Twitch and get notified when we do one.
But where can people find us, Alex?
They can find us over on twitch.com/just_interesting, I think.
I think it's twitch.tv.
Oh, yeah. That's the one.
Close enough.
Close but no cigar.
But yeah. And Martin said that if we get to 250 followers, he's going to dye his hair blue.
Whoa. That was by the time of recording this podcast.
Yeah.
We're close.
That was by Good Friday. Not quite. That was a Good Friday deadline.
Yeah. Well, my comment this week is from Rocket Summer. Rocket Summer says, can one of your Patreon stretch goals be to get enough money to participate in the foreskin parade?
If someone hasn't watched last week's video, then...
We need a bit of context here. Foreskin parade was in last week's video. If you haven't watched that one, maybe watch that first and come back to this one. But yeah, maybe. Well, I mean, how much should that be in terms of getting there? What country was it in?
Yeah,
well,
I think it was in Italy. I think they have stopped it now because the whole point was they lost the foreskin that was at the center of the parade. So yeah, we might struggle to get our own. We'd have to invent
how
a time machine
to bring it back.
Or bring our own. Oh, okay, well.
Yeah, bring our own. Bring the parade back. And get the whole... I mean, that sounds expensive, doesn't it?
Could we do quite a little bit? Could we fund like an expedition, like a treasure hunting expedition to find the holy foreskin? What would that Patreon stretch goal be? I mean, that sounds pretty fun, to be honest.
That does sound like an Indiana Jones adventure. Yeah.
50,000.
50,000?
50,000.
Okay. 50,000.
You know how hard it is to find a foreskin? You know how small those things are?
Check behind the prison wall.
There you go. Okay. I'm glad anyone who listened to last week's podcast and who, especially if you watched us live, thank you. But I hope you enjoyed that little spiel. Anyone who didn't listen to last week's podcast is going to be very confused for all the references we've just been making. But despite that, my comment is also from last week's podcast, which is from Cree Spence, who says, could you imagine being the guy whose foreskin was mistaken for Jesus's? Almost as good as being Jesus.
It's a close second.
I mean, in the sense that, the good stuff happened after you were dead. Up to that point.
I mean,
bit questionable.
So this was the theory that basically for like hundreds of years, different churches were like, had a foreskin and they were saying it was the foreskin of Christ. But I mean, presuming it wasn't the actual foreskin, it was someone's. So imagine how weird that would be if it was yours.
Could have been called Jesus. That would have been a coincidence, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Although the Catholic Church is making this mistake, just confused it. Some guy's like, it's just my mate Jesus's foreskin. it's not the Jesus. Okay. We've got to go along with it now.
In a terrible case of mistaken identity. Yeah. There we go.
This is two podcasts now where we've spoken about foreskins way too much.
Extensively. Jesus way too much. Extensively. Well,
from
I guess
one
from
dick to another.
Well, I was going to say, from discarded foreskins to an absolute bell end, let's discuss Matt Gaetz.
And hope he doesn't sue.
So this week it was announced that Matt Gaetz, the Republican representative for Florida, was, he was being accused and being investigated by the FBI of child sex trafficking. So some really, really serious accusations against him. And this comes on the back of him supposedly traveling with a girl and having a sexual relationship with a girl who's 17 years old across state lines, and him basically paying for this all expenses trips across state lines and breaking federal law as a result. And so he's basically come out against this and said that, of course, it's a conspiracy. He's being set up by Democrats who are trying to undermine him, and that he's being targeted by the FBI in this investigation. But it gets a little bit more complicated when an aide of his, a guy called John Greenberg, was actually convicted of similar charges. He was actually charged with having sexual relationships with minors and for sex trafficking himself. And so he's in a really, really tough spot here in terms of what he does next. He basically last week he said that he might actually resign from the House, but has since backtracked on that and saying he's going to defend himself and basically clear his name of this misconduct. The interesting thing is, in a bill from 2017, a bill against human sex trafficking, 418 members of Congress, so every other member of Congress voted for this bill against sex trafficking. And Gates voted against it. The one member of Congress who voted against it, and he was basically saying that he didn't want any, to increase federal bureaucracy. You know, he wasn't being sent to Congress to do that. So that was his defense. Someone who's wanting to defend themselves in this way, that's not a great look, is it? Being the only person in Congress to vote against that. And so he's recently also come out to say that, you know, Nancy Pelosi's a hypocrite for defending Bill Clinton in the Monica Lewinsky case and not defending him. So Matt's had an interesting few weeks, and it's not the first time that he's had relationships with younger girls, let's say. He had a relationship with a staff member of his who was 21 years old. So, of course, legal, and you know, that's a massive difference there. But at the same time, he has a little bit of a reputation for getting around, members of staff, etc. So, yes, what do you guys think about Gates? He's a bit of a caricature, isn't he, in the Republican Party?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many weird stories. I think we can kind of, like, talk about all the weird stories wrapped up in one, and it's kind of culminated in this, you know, this crazy outbreak of stories about him this week. And it's kind of like almost like the missing piece of the puzzle of something weird that's always been going on with him. Like the 2017 thing where he was the sole vote against a human trafficking bill. Presuming, like, if you assume that he's totally innocent, if he's, for whatever reason, just absolutely innocent, he must be regretting that massively. It's like, why did I do that? That was so stupid.
Good. Does not look good.
I don't understand why you would do that anyway, because it's not going to make a difference. You know that, well, most of the people in your district would be very much for legislation against human trafficking. It just seems bizarre to vote against that. I mean, it's obviously, I mean, he was a Trump loyalist, wasn't he? He was a Trump advocate. Yeah. And so maybe he's someone who thinks, I'm going to get notoriety for going against the grain.
I think that's the only reason I can think of. That's the only reason why someone would vote against that, but to be the one person who voted no for it. Just to get the kind of media exposure, I guess.
I think that's just the last year alone, all his appearances on Fox News, I think it's 87 minutes in total that he's appeared on air on Fox News, which is almost a record for a congressman with so little status as him. He loves the attention, clearly.
Yeah.
But it's almost, it helps, like you say, it helps build a case against him when he can say, you're literally the only member of Congress who didn't vote for these anti-sex trafficking laws, human trafficking laws. And why was that? Is it because perhaps you realized that having read the laws, you would be liable under them? I think I think about, because part of his defense as well with this 17-year-old girl that he allegedly paid all the expenses for to get her across state lines and to put her up in a hotel. Did you mention it also apparently using campaign funds?
Yes.
To do it?
I didn't, but you're right.
Dodgy anyway. Mm-hmm. But part of his defense is that he hasn't denied that they had the relationship. He said, I was a generous partner. I've always been guilty of being generous in relationships. A non-denial denial.
Misattributing.
And it's like, that's a weird way to... That response suggests that the relationship did happen. And it probably was sexual. And obviously you would know, particularly as a lawmaker in Congress, that a 17-year-old is underage by American law. For the record, in Britain, the age of consent is 16. So there's all kinds of cultural debates to be had about the ethics of it. But the point is that he's a lawmaker, knowingly breaking the law, probably in this case, allegedly at least, according to the FBI, who are investigating him. Yeah, at the same time, his bizarre defense includes the Department of Justice and the FBI carrying out some kind of extortion scheme against his dad. And this whole sex trafficking investigation is part of this extortion scheme to get his dad to pay $25 million. And it started with people from the Department of Justice approaching his dad saying they've got some dodgy stuff on Matt Gaetz. I can't remember what they said it was. Was it sex trafficking? Was it they were saying
it was,
that
it was, inf- it was, yeah, it was information that would expose him as being basically a sex trafficker.
Okay, yeah. So he's saying that these sex trafficking charges started as an extortion scheme against when they went to his dad, said, give us $25 million. His dad said no. And then they sort of carried on with this sex trafficking investigation.
On Fox News, he basically came out and demanded that the FBI release these audio transcripts from conversations that they've had with his dad.
Who was wearing a wire, wasn't he?
Who was wearing a wire, apparently. And then also on that same show, this is just another addition to this bizarre saga. He so this was with Tucker Carlson, possibly implicated Tucker Carlson in this whole grand scheme by saying that they had gone out to dinner 2 years prior to that. And he said that, you know, your wife was there and I brought a friend along who you'll remember, and said that she had also been a victim of the FBI trying to extort her in some kind of pay for play scheme. And Tucker Carlson immediately was like, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. Which, as you pointed out, Martin, like before the podcast, you don't say that, do you? You would know, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you
would know if you went for dinner with a sitting member of Congress.
Or you say no. Yeah, it's the kind of thing you probably wouldn't forget. I know these guys obviously go out all the time, don't they? Meet up with loads and loads of people, probably multiple times even a day. But you remember, don't you? You remember.
Yeah.
The last couple of years if you've been
there. But you denied it live on air.
You'd remember a dinner with Matt Gaetz, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It'd be so strange.
You'd think so.
But did you mention also that last year there was a kind of small scandal about Matt Gaetz because of this Joel Greenberg, who there was evidence on his phones. I think he had receipts for having paid women for sex, and the women claimed that Matt Gaetz was one of the clients he had facilitated. So already there's a strong claim against Matt Gaetz for being willing to pay for sex, and then you've got this thing about underage women and this Joel Greenberg who's under sex trafficking investigation. So it's all looking very likely that Matt Gaetz is connected to, if not involved.
Joel Greenberg's been charged.
Yeah.
And been charged with sex trafficking of a minor. And according to reports, it's the same minor involved in the Joel Greenberg case as it is with Matt as well. So
also, in addition to that, CNN reported this week that an employee at Greenberg's office, his tax collector's office, saw Greenberg and Gaetz on a surveillance video looking through driver's licenses on a weekend evening. And I think this was like a meeting that wasn't in the calendar, basically.
Yeah.
And it was just and two other outlets reported that surveillance camera footage showed Greenberg and another man in the tax collector's office at night. So there's a lot linking the two of them, it seems like. And this is just the information that obviously the public has.
Yeah.
This all stemmed from an FBI investigation that was overflowing from this original Greenberg investigation. And just kind of Matt Gaetz got swept up in it, I guess.
But yes, if I may move the conversation on slightly to a different tangent, what I want to know is, here we have a situation where a member of the US Congress is under investigation for child sex trafficking. Does this sound familiar? Does this ring any bells? Pizza comes to mind. The Clintons. Yeah. QAnon. Gates, that's what QAnon. I'm thinking about. QAnon.
Robert, are you referring to the fact that QAnon supporters have vehemently come to the defense of Gaetz over this, despite it being completely, you know, it was really supporting that they were so adamantly against in the case of Pizzagate. And people like to say that, you know, it's a moral issue, isn't it? But QAnon and Pizzagate showed that more than anything, it's about being part of a movement, and especially a movement against a political side that you don't like. Mm-hmm. The truth doesn't really come into it. It's very much about backing your horse, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about being pro-Trump. And Matt Gaetz has even used that word, I think, in part of his defense, saying that they're after the deep state is after him because he supported Trump.
which is interesting.
I think he also threatened to resign in support of Trump as well, didn't he?
So oh, did he? Oh, I didn't know about that.
I think
that.
He just wants to resign for some reason.
He's had enough. Well, I'm not surprised.
Well, this was like a few weeks ago. He was starting to say like he might step back and resign in order to take a cushy conservative media job. Yeah. And there were like rumblings then that something was going to come out. Right. And that's why he was thinking of stepping back, so he's not like in the limelight. But now that it's all come out, I think his best option is to stay where he is, because that's where he might have the best chance of defending himself.
I mean, that's what Roger Stone's advice is to Matt Gaetz. Having appeared on Alex Jones's InfoWars, his advice was keep making public appearances, keep shouting about it, don't give up the limelight, basically. Yeah. Mm. And I think, to be honest, why not take Roger Stone's advice? It's served him well and all the people he's advised for years.
You're less likely to get a pardon these days, though, I expect. I don't think Biden's likely to throw around pardons for Matt Gaetz.
Oh.
Yeah, make a point.
Yeah. There was also this was another weird story that came out about Matt Gaetz. We have to talk about the whole Nestor situation. His son originally from Cuba.
Son, quotation marks.
He's not biologically related to him or through any kind of adoption records related to Matt Gaetz. But this was last year. Matt, I think he was being accused of racism for something that he said. Mm. And he came out and said, I can't be racist. I've got a son from Cuba that, you know, is my son. And he was he's like a 19-year-old kid that just lives with Matt Gaetz, who's apparently he's raised him since he was 12. And when asked for, like, why are you calling him your son when you have no records of it? I think he said something like, "Our relationship is defined by love, not by paperwork," which is weird.
It's a weird thing to say. I can excuse the fact that, you know, you might not be an official title. It's a bit like when you're, you know, your parents' friends, you might call them an auntie or something, even though they're not legally an auntie, they're a friend or whatever. I get it, but it's just the fact that you're using that as a defense of not being racist. It's like bringing up a son that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the weird thing about it. Like, no one knew who this was prior to this.
Yeah,
like brought it up.
It's weird, but I don't hold that against him particularly.
His official story for it was that the sister of so Nestor, when he was 12, his mom died of breast cancer, and apparently he moved to the States where his sister was a state legislator, and Gaetz was dating his sister. I don't know why Nestor then moved in and stayed with him, even after their relationship ended.
Problem is whether it's platonic and it's a charitable act, but it's a pattern of behavior, isn't it? That's the problem. And even at the time, people were suspicious. And they said, why have you been living with this 12-year-old man, well, 12-year-old boy, who's of not only no blood relation, but you haven't taken any legal responsibility for at all. He's not your ward. He's not your adopted son. You're just living together. And then you say weird things like that, defined by love, not paperwork. And to be honest, like Martin said, if I'd heard that story at the time, I probably would have thought, oh, well, even the most despicable sleazebags have good qualities and he's done something good for this kid. But now you look back and think, his penchant for young lovers and particularly legal minors is a little weird.
And the human trafficking kind of allegations.
Another,
as well.
Yeah, from Cuba to Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot to it, I guess. But in terms of his comparisons with Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, there's obviously one big difference, which is that Monica Lewinsky, whatever you think about what Bill Clinton did, she was 22, and the accusations against him are about a 17-year-old girl. So it's a little bit different.
She was an intern working at the White House. She had every right to be there. She had every power of consent. So legally, Clinton did nothing wrong. Ethically, yes. Legally, no.
Do you think that Fox, especially with Coulson denying the fact that they met, do you think he'll slowly fade out of their the public eye on that channel in particular?
Almost.
Do you think they'll just usher him out of the door and keep him away? Because it was, and it said that one of Trump's advisors told Trump that even a 10-foot barge pole is not long enough for Matt Gaetz. So there's obviously, you know, people know that he's not one to be, you know, to be associated with if you want to go far. I don't know whether there's any knowledge of his dodgy dealings and what's going on as a result of this, these accusations. But well, we shall see. We shall see.
That's what I've been reading and stuff. Like, it's interesting. Like, the Republican Party generally, when a scandal comes out about one of them, they tend to galvanize around that individual and like defend them, and a lot of whataboutism, a lot of that kind of Bill Clinton comparisons. Whereas in this instance, they're all just deathly silent. The silence is deafening, you know.
Apart from Luke Ball, who was Gates's spokesman, who resigned.
Oh, his director of communications.
Yeah, he went.
Not a great sign. Not a great sign.
Yeah, not a good sign. Getting the hell out of there. So.
But yeah, I mean, it kind of makes you think that either they know that there's more out there and it's going to come out, and they want to be, like you say, further than a 10-foot pole away from him. Or the other theory I've heard is that Matt Gaetz is like the epitome of Trumpism. He's the most fervent Trump supporter. And this is like their way of... Riley, like if he takes the fall, then he can be a kind of like martyr for the Trump movement, and it will just rile up the base for the midterms, that kind of Trump supporting base, and get them to turn out for the midterms.
Interesting. If,
like, get rid of an awkward colleague who also happily would give up political
kill two
capital
birds with
in the
one
midterms.
Stone. They get rid of this weird creep, and then also like all the
kind
voters
of,
turn out.
Would you really want to base your support on your support base backing someone who could be then convicted of child sex trafficking? It's a risky game to play, I think.
Yeah,
get people riled up in support of Matt Gaetz.
I don't know. They all get away with it. U.S. politicians, or both sides of the aisle, they get away with all kinds of things. So I doubt he'll get convicted. I would be surprised if he got convicted.
Well, either they get riled up, or the other scenario happens where people finally see, oh, this is the kind of people Trump surrounds himself with. Maybe we need to cool off, return to the center a little bit. And I think maybe a lot of Republicans might like that as well. A lot of the Mitt Romney-esque Republicans, maybe.
I think it's up to Mitch McConnell, really. I think he'll still determine whether they play the Trump card and try to get that base vote out, or whether they try to distance themselves from Trump in the midterms. I suspect they'll do the former and play up the Trump card because that's all they've got, really.
That's going to be fascinating to see, isn't it? How much they dig into that. I think especially since Trump's no longer on social media. I know it's, you know, not everyone's on social media. A big part of his base isn't. But in terms of getting the message out about, you know, Trump still being there, their messiah, to put it in a horrible, horrible way.
They might find
how effective will that be without the main man being there? Interesting.
They might find a new name for it, perhaps a new way of expressing it, but there'll be the same feelings, the same basic.
The rhetoric will be there.
That they tap into. And I think they'll win the midterms almost certainly, because. Not only is there a historical pattern for that, but the Democrats have such a slim hold on power.
I think the response to the way Biden's dealt with the pandemic and the rollout of the vaccine has been positive, and that's of course such a huge issue in America at the moment. And so I think as well, was in the 70s, 70-something% of people think that he's done either a good or an excellent job at that. So interesting to see whether his personal approval rating and that of the Democratic Party could increase among those kind of swing voters as a result of the handling of the pandemic. But we shall see.
But if they do a good job and things have been normal by 6 months to a year, come the midterms, then that's more than enough time for people to forget about that and for the
Republicans to
create another scandal.
You've got to time your good deeds, haven't you?
Yeah, that's the problem. And I think, well, maybe Matt Gaetz will get arrested around the midterms. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
But there that's beside the point, perhaps. Well, what do you guys think? Do we think Matt Gaetz is guilty, or do we think he's the victim of a conspiracy and QAnon know the truth?
There we go.
I think you know our opinions on that.
We haven't said anything that's libelous, okay? We've stated the facts and possibly our opinions. But anyway, shall we move on to this week's quiz?
Yes. Yay.
Welcome to the quiz. 10 questions as always, and a bonus question if we're tied. Gentlemen, nice. To answer the quiz, you have to have a buzzer. Do you have your buzzers ready?
Yeah.
I've got mine.
Good, good. Alex, what have you got for us today?
I've got, well, it's not really a classic, but it was popular a couple of months ago.
And, soon to be a classic.
I want to bring soon it back, you know. It's the classic Jackie Weaver saga.
I take charge.
Read them and understand them.
I was, for about a couple of weeks, I was just walking around the flat going, I take charge.
So, wonderful.
Yeah.
That is a brilliant, brilliant clip. Robin, what have you got for us this week?
My new favourite buzzer. Here there is.
Oh.
I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism. Space!
Spice.
I love it.
Spice.
The one and only Tim Curry from, did I say Red Alert 3?
Yeah.
Is that what I said? I can't remember now.
I think so.
One of those games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Question number one. Which of these cloud types is described as white and fluffy? Cumulus, stratus, or cirrus?
I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism.
I think I heard Jackie Weaver there first.
What was the first one you said?
Cumulus, stratus, or cirrus?
I'm going to go for humorless.
The first one. Cumulus.
Cumulus.
It is cumulus.
Yes. Didn't even know.
White and fluffy.
Yeah, I didn't even know what it was. I heard the other ones. I thought stratus was like stratosphere, and then I wasn't convinced by the other one. So
okay, fair enough. Well, good deduction. Correct. 1-0 to Alex. Question number two: how much did the biggest pizza ever measure? I've written that poorly. How much did the biggest pizza ever measure?
In terms of the diameter or length?
Okay.
What unit of measurement are we using?
I can convert, so go for whatever. I've got it in feet.
Okay.
But if you're desperate to use meters,
largest pizza ever.
And I can quickly.
Is this the closest wins or is it a definitive? Yes
oh, yeah, no, we'll go closest okay. wins. Yeah.
Okay.
The largest pizza ever.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yup.
Illegally.
Yes.
I'm going to go 20 feet.
20 feet. Oh, 20-foot pizza. Okay.
I was going to go 20 feet as well. Okay, then I will
go... Which way are you going to go?
21 feet.
21 feet! Well, Robin, you are correct. It's 122 feet and 8 inches.
What?
That's
mad.
It weighed 26,883 pounds.
Whoa.
Was it in a circle? Or was it just one straight long one?
Yeah, no, giant circle. It was made in South Africa.
Did they cook it
back in the early 90s?
In the sun?
I bet that was terrible pizza.
Yeah,
it's bound to be.
How do you even stretch the dough that far?
Well, yeah, good question. Yeah, usually with these things, they make smaller ones and then combine them together, don't they?
I found a picture of it,
and it is a giant circular pizza. So,
wow. Yeah. Logistically, how did they achieve that?
There we go. I have to do some intense research into that and maybe bring it as the
fact
for next week.
Imagine the stink from the pepperoni.
Yeah. I think it was tomato. They used lots of cheese and they used mushrooms as well.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. I think it was veggie.
Maybe they used blow torches to cook it, or again, just left out in the sun. Put it on a hot rock.
Maybe. Maybe. I didn't go into a whole load of detail about the pizza, but I will. I'll bring that next week.
Okay, thank you.
Question number 3, 1-1. What is the rarest blood type in the world?
Illegally?
Yes. Alex, what are you going for? The rarest blood type?
I believe that is O negative.
It is not O negative.
What a shout, though, that would have been. What a great guess. To
the one place that hasn't been...
That would have been a good shout, if you got that. So I'll go with AB negative.
It's AB negative.
What?
It's actually.
Well done. It is. Hey. It is. Right, it then. Is. Yep. The rarest by quite a distance.
How
as well.
How do you know that?
It's one of the few blood types that I've heard mentioned in detective thrillers.
Yes. In the UK, I'm just having a quick look. In the UK, it makes up just 1%.
Really?
But in a lot of countries, it makes up far less than that. In Vietnam, for instance, 0.02%.
Wow.
Similarly in Taiwan. So very rare, very rare. The most common is O positive.
Well, not even
the most common.
Rare,
maybe I got that wrong then.
You said O negative, which is around about 5 to 10% usually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or 5 to 7% roughly. Although it varies massively.
I don't know my blood type. I should find that out, shouldn't I?
I think I'm O positive. Oh. I'm pretty sure.
So is that the most common?
The most common. I'm a commoner. Yeah. Well, I don't mind. It's good. It means you
it's
can.
It's good. Yeah.
That's yeah. If you need a blood transfusion.
You don't want to be rare when it comes to that. Right. That is 2-1 to Robin. Question number 4. When was Wikipedia founded?
Ooh.
Is this closest thing?
By capitalism.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
oh probably. No, now the stakes have changed.
I'll give you a couple of guesses. If you don't get it right the first time, and then maybe we'll go closest wins on a second round through.
I'm happy to go straight for closest wins.
Format. Why not?
So are we going closest wins from the off, or from what are we going guesses?
We're going guesses first.
Okay, we're going guesses. I bet it's older than I think. I bet it's 1996.
Okay. Alex?
I'm going to guess 19. I think Robin's very close, so I'm not like being being a dick by being so close. I'll guess 1997.
Okay. Well, I can say that you're both wrong. Okay. Would you like to update your guesses at all?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
Escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism.
2003.
Okay.
That's wrong. I bet it's wrong.
Alex, what are you thinking?
I don't know. This is really tough. Okay, I'll go 2001.
January 2001. Alex is correct. Very much closest wins. It's got the year.
Nice.
Very good. 2-2. Good guess. 2-2, 2001. Guess. Question number 5. At what age does a baby become a toddler?
Space!
Is that your answer? Space.
That's why it's a space. Was that me first or was that Alex?
I think that was you first. Yeah.
I don't know the answer, so I'm just going... Did you say it was closest wins? Or is this an answer?
No, it's an answer.
Okay, fair enough. That's right, because you are a parent, so you should know. 14. No.
14 years old?
No, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say months. I'm going to say months.
14.
I know. I'm having a laugh, a bloody good laugh.
I don't know anymore, and I'm kind of second guess. No, I'll stick with it. 14 months. I'll stick with it.
Okay, 14 months.
Illegally?
I'll go. You said 14 months.
Yeah.
I'll say 20 months.
20 months? Okay. Well, you're both wrong, so we're going to go closest wins again.
Okay.
I like this format.
Oh, the second guess.
Yeah, you're going to update. Yes. Yeah, you're going all to second right. guess. You're going to second guess yourself. See? Yeah.
This is like in Deal or No Deal where they say, do you want to swap the box?
Exactly.
One place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism.
So, at the risk of giving Alex helpful clues, I know that babies start walking by the time they're a year old.
Okay.
Typically. But when they become a toddler, is that that's like a specific thing when they're kind of more, I'm a child and I can communicate and run and demand things, isn't it? Right. So 14 months was wrong. So I'm going to go with 18 months.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I'm the youngest child. I know nothing about babies or toddlers. Never had to look after one, never babysat any child. So yeah. I know.
Just leave all your pregnant lovers alone to raise the child.
Like I was thinking, I don't know, like I was thinking before this, like four? I don't know. So you said 18 months. What did I say? 20?
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to stick with my answer. I don't know.
20 months.
Yeah.
It's 1 year, 1 year old. 1 year old, 12 months.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what am I talking about? I was thinking 24 months in a year. It's too late. Okay, so Robin got it.
Robin gets the point. Robin gets the point. 3-2 to Robin.
I feel I definitely did not earn that point, but thank you.
Oh, yeah, no, you did.
Yeah, I changed my answer to further away.
Well, yeah, but that's the fun of second guess. That's what we're calling it now, second guess. Question number 6. 3-2. In The Lord of the Rings, which member of the Fellowship tries to destroy the ring at Rivendell?
Space!
Oh, I think you were just there, Alex.
That would be Gimli, son of Gloin.
But Gimli, son of Gloin, very good. Very good.
So disappointed in myself.
Why don't you destroy it? Boom!
You know what? I was watching Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah?
And got to Rivendell. And then the DVD just went.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. No. DVD's gone.
Time to upgrade to the 4K Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if I had something to play it on, I would.
You got a PlayStation.
Right. Yeah, no 4K Blu-rays, just standard Blu-rays. So I could upgrade to that, I guess.
No.
No, that's all right. That's not working.
Who's your favourite character?
Oof, in the whole of the Lord of the Rings franchise?
Yeah.
Growing up, I'd always say Legolas.
Huh.
But the more he's interviews cool. I hear of Orlando Bloom, the less I like him.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, he just comes across as a pretentious... I don't want to say too much bad, because he doesn't seem like a horrible person.
He's had an
person.
Easy life, let's say that.
He just, you know what his routine's like. And get up and drink lemongrass water and, you know, this kind of bullshit.
That does sound very Legolas.
And do 2 hours of yoga, you know, he's one of these people has enough time for that shit.
I mean, that sounds like Legolas, though, so...
It does, doesn't
I've
it?
I've completely derailed the quiz now with this stupid question.
Who's your favourite character, Alex?
Yeah, let's go. Yes, you do yours first.
I'm going to go Boromir. For sure, Boromir. He's by far the most interesting character. This flawed person. Flawed man.
Yeah.
He's trying to live up to, you know, the hero of Aragorn, and he's trying his best, bless him.
Okay.
He's an interesting character, isn't he? He really is. I think I've got to go for Gandalf.
Well, when I read the books, I think it was a long time ago now, but Faramir, I think, was my actual favourite because
he came to mind.
Yeah, because Boromir is corrupted by the ring, and Faramir has the strength to resist it and be a decent fella, and he gets Eowyn, which, you know, score. But I think Sam is probably the best character.
Sam,
yeah,
Samwise.
His simple courage stands out. Well, I like Frodo too. But Frodo's Frodo's the master, whereas Sam has to actually struggle the whole journey, carrying all the food and the equipment and everything.
I can't carry the ring for you, but I can carry you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and his endless hope.
Sam good. Is good.
That's important. True.
Anyway,
Sam is good.
I'm very sorry for derailing the quiz like this.
Yeah.
So that is 3-all. Yeah. Question 7.
It is.
What are baby rabbits called?
Oh.
Is a meeting called by two councillors illegally?
Yes.
Are they?
Alex.
Are they kittens?
They are kittens.
Damn.
Yeah, I think we've
had this quiz. I had this question on the quiz before. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, apologies.
That's all right, because I was second guessing myself.
I didn't remember it. I don't think I'm pretty sure I haven't said it before that one. So.
No, I think it's a question I might have actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just one of those weird facts I just had stored away somewhere, I guess.
Nice. Yeah, kittens.
Alex is under investigation for trafficking underage bunny rabbits.
God.
Oh, we've got underage conies. Yeah,
we can't check that out.
We can, but we're terrible people. Question number 8. What is the best-selling VHS of all time?
No, really?
VHS. That's a,
oh, my wow.
That's my question. I wanted to have... The answer's the same as for all home video and, like, DVDs, etc. But I just thought the VHS bit was the best. So I just decided to narrow it down to VHS. Whoa. It's the same answer.
So you say okay. It's the same for same DVDs? Because that's
a clue. That's a clue there. It's the same for DVD. As in, like, if you add them all together, like, with the VHS...
Are you including Blu-ray in that?
If you add the whole of home of like home theater together, it's the same for VHS as it is for the total number.
I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism.
Is it the Wizard of Oz?
It's not the Wizard of Oz.
That's a great guess.
Good guess. Good guess. Yeah.
What about Snow White?
Another good guess, but it's not.
No.
Okay.
I have to say, though, just a bit of a clue. You're along the right lines there, Alex. It's something that has that lasting appeal, and of course, something that's often reissued in different guises. You know.
Okay.
Mhm. So you probably know which company I'm referring to.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which.
So it's a Disney,
if it's not a Snow White, which one is it?
Space!
Bambi?
Not Bambi.
Damn. Can be at all.
This is a meeting called by two councillors.
The Lion King?
It is The Lion King.
Yes!
The Lion King, 32 million copies on VHS sold.
I can believe that. Popular. We had a copy of that, yeah.
And they always keep on giving out these special editions, don't they? Producing
this
anniversary edition and that anniversary edition, yeah. Yep, The Lion King. There we go.
Wow.
So that is now... 5-3 was pulled ahead. Only two questions left.
I've got to get both of these right just to have a chance.
You've got to get them right.
Don't think it's happening.
I'll be joined first if I'm not even thinking about it. It's not going to happen.
There's a lot at stake. There's no way I can do this.
You've got to get one of the next three questions right.
I'm not a comeback king.
Rest of my life.
Question 9.
Okay.
Every 4 years, the English, Irish, Welsh and Scottish rugby teams come together to make a super team which tours one of either South Africa, Australia or New Zealand.
Can't believe you've done this, Martin.
They are called the Lions. But which country are they playing this year?
Shit.
Robin, you did buzz.
I did buzz, and now I've got to answer. Because I was greedily, selfishly, and thoughtlessly thinking the question was going to be, what are they called? But no, which country are they playing in?
Yes.
Or just the country they're playing?
Who are they playing against? Who's the tour series against?
Oh, I have no idea.
Three options.
New Zealand.
So what was that?
New Zealand.
It's not New Zealand. Alex, your guess?
No, don't.
I don't even know what the three options are, so I'm just going to guess. South Africa?
It's South Africa.
I just knew it would be.
Yep, they're playing in... Well, they're supposedly playing in South Africa.
Oh, my gosh.
In this summertime. It was meant to be kind of called off. They were thinking of calling it off and then playing in the UK, but apparently it's still going ahead. Well, I imagine there won't be many travelling fans, but we'll see.
I just want to say I am thrilled. I am just incredibly happy.
Your rugby knowledge came to the fore. So very good.
The only thing that annoys me about this is that that's at least the third question this quiz that Alex has got right, not knowing the answer when he buzzed. And I knew the answer. And I changed my answer because I second-guessed myself. And I don't mind losing. But I do mind losing when I was right.
I'm really sorry, Robin.
No, don't be. You're the quiz king. You're the quiz king. You deserve it.
I'm sorry,
I deserve to lose for making those silly errors.
Right, 6-3. Question number 10. Who was the first ever US vice president?
I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't
illegally.
I heard Robin.
Oh, great!
First,
John Adams.
It was John Adams.
Did you know that, Alex?
Well done.
That I was going to guess John Adams, just because okay. He was the second president, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did you say it was like the most the most useless and pointless position in the whole of U.S. politics, or something to that extent? Didn't he?
It wasn't wrong.
yeah, true. I guess how many vice presidents have then become president? That's stepping stone. It's not a bad position for your career goals, is it?
Well, Adams' vice president was Jefferson, who then became president, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At least at the beginning, there was a handover.
True.
These days, true. That's common, I guess. Al Gore was supposed to be a shoo-in.
Of course. I mean, do you think that Harris will become president?
I don't like to jinx it.
Yeah, I don't want... I don't know, I mean...
TBC.
Yeah. Anything could happen to Biden, I guess. But then anything could happen to any president.
Especially this year with a digestive biscuit.
That's with a digestive biscuit on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Always a risk, that digestive biscuit.
Yeah.
Always a risk.
His first state visit to the UK... We're going to make some enemies, I think. If we poison, I'm assuming we poison him with the McVitie's.
Or he chokes on it.
I don't recall that at all.
Not us. Like us as a country.
I don't. What?
Are you plotting to kill Biden with a digestive biscuit?
No. I'm just saying, like, where else is he going to? He doesn't just have McVitie's digestives lying about. Is he? He's going to have to get them when he comes here.
True.
He doesn't. I mean, their version of a biscuit in the US is very different to over here, isn't it? It's more like a scone or something, isn't it? Like
really?
Yeah. Some dry thing that you pour gravy
That's
over.
That's why they love cookies.
Maybe.
I guess.
Gravy and biscuits.
Cookies.
Biscuits and gravy.
That's a thing, right?
That is a
That's
thing.
An American thing.
Yeah.
Imagine a digestive with gravy. My God. That's traditionally called
sweet biscuits. It's just that we lost... Like the American savory biscuit that you just described is something that we used to have, but we kind of lost it.
I think for good reason, though, right? It doesn't look great.
What I do need to look up is why they're called digestive biscuits. Do you think they were invented? Do you think they're one of those Victorian remedies for bowel movement or something? You know, is that
good question? Digestive.
Do they have a lot of fiber in them? I can't imagine they do.
Well, there's someone's fact sorted for next week.
Yeah. Martin and I have both got our facts sorted. Martin's going to look at his thing. I'm going to look at my thing. And Alex, what's yours going to be? Preview. Sneak preview of next week.
Another thing that I grew... Food that I grew up on, probably. Some more cheese pasta facts. I've got hundreds of them.
Cheese pasta. just called cheese pasta. Okay. Moving on to the bonus fact. It won't change the results, but it could get a little bit of pride back, Robin. So, question number 11.
Oh, okay.
So to speak. Which month has the most births globally?
Interesting.
When are your birthdays? It's bad that I don't know this, but when are your birthdays?
Mine's in August. I'm a Leo.
Okay. I'm escaping to the August one 9th. Place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism.
I want to guess.
Yes.
September.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not September.
Is a meeting called by two councillors?
Well, I'm going to guess July.
It's not July.
Is it going to be August?
Is it August?
Yeah, it's August.
I feel like your face kind of gave that away.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure if it was in the balance, I would have tried to keep more of a straight face, I imagine. Yes, August. August has the most
those
births
cold
globally.
Winter nights, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, it varies from country to country, as you'd expect. But August, yeah, most births. So if you're born in August, congratulations on being a commoner.
I'm a commoner.
Yeah, common as muck. Anyway, thank you, gentlemen, for partaking in this quiz.
Thank
Alex, congratulations on the victory.
Yeah.
It was comprehensive in the end, I thought.
Thank
it was
you
good,
very much.
Good victory.
Yeah, yeah, very, and, very well earned. Yeah,
and very good much quiz. So, thank very you. Much so.
Can't remember the last time I beat you in a quiz, Robin. Quite frankly, it's
wasn't the beginning of this season. Someone beat me.
Oh, possibly.
Sure it was you. Yeah, you had a really good run. You won two or three in a row, didn't you?
You did have a good start, I think.
Yeah,
and then it faded away. So, but you're back. You're back in the running.
I think we're joined first. I'm coming for that trophy.
Oof. Yeah, it's happening.
I need that drinking vessel.
It's a good
one. I don't have any of my own. I need one.
Next week it will make an appearance. I need to remember that as well. Write it down in the notes.
Yeah.
But thank you all. But thank you both for joining me. Thank you all at home for joining us as well. We have been doing, well, we did our first live podcast, didn't we, over on twitch.tv/just_interesting. So do head on over there if you want to be notified when we go live again, because you can get directly involved. You can ask your questions. You can chat away with other fans of the podcast as well and interact with us. So please do head on over there. We're trying to build a bit of a following. So any support we can get over there would be fantastic. We've also got our Patreon episodes for a little more interesting at patreon.com/justinteresting. And other than that, I think just have a great week, everyone. Keep safe, enjoy yourself, enjoy the sun, and we'll see you next time.
Cool. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.